Can you guys see my screen? Can you guys see my screen?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Wonderful. It's good to see everybody. And, you know, last week, I started talking about knowing God better. And tonight, with your permission, I want to kind of continue along those lines. But tonight, I want us to talk about biblical meditation. You and I, we serve an amazing God who created all of us and who created everything we see out of nothing. He created us in his image. And tonight, I want us to look at this topic because the Bible talks about it a lot. But before we get started, let me say a quick prayer. Our God who is in heaven, Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you, Father, that we can gather together like this as a church. Father, we pray you bless Patrick as he moves on to St. Louis. We thank you, Father, for his life and everything he's done for the Brooklyn ministry. We pray that his flight will be COVID safe. There will be no COVID-19. I pray, Father, that you fill us up with your spirit tonight as we continue to talk about drawing closer to you. We love you, God. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. The word meditation or meditate appears 21 times in the Bible. The word think, thinking, and thoughts shows up 252 times. The word mind comes up 63 times. And the word ponder shows up 9 times. The idea is God wants us to really take the time and to think about what is sent to us in through his word. And it doesn't happen naturally. Obviously, right now, in our day, there is so much distraction. There is so much noise, so to speak. There is so much information coming out from Facebook and Instagram and through the television and through the radio that a lot of times, if we're not careful, even as Christians, all these things would kind of distract us and we no longer hear God when he's trying to talk to us through his word. And so that's what I want to talk to us about tonight. You know, I know we read a lot. You know, we consume a lot of information. I saw this slide and I thought it was very appropriate that if you're going to believe everything you read, then start reading your Bible. You see, there are three things that are eternal, and you're going to hear me say this a lot. It's God. Obviously, God is made up of three persons, God, the Father, God, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They're eternal. The next thing that's eternal is his word, this word that you and I call the Bible. And then the next thing that's also eternal is the immortality that God will grant us our souls because we're Christians. Those are the only three things that will last. All this information that we're hearing today, it's all gonna fall by the wayside. And that's why it's very important that we not just read the Bible, but we take a lot of time to really think about what it's saying, because God wrote that book to me. God wrote that book to you. It's a personal message. And so we got to make sure that we take the time to really get in there and dig deeper and really get to know this God that created this world out of nothing. I want us to consider these following passages as we begin tonight. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. He says that we need to allow the word of God to dwell in us richly.
Amen.
Psalm 19, verse 14. This one says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Do not let these words of mine depart from your mouth. Meditate on them day and night, so that you may obey and to do everything written in it. It says, when we do that, we will be prosperous and successful. I want you to notice the word think, and meditate and ponder as we look through these verses. In Psalm chapter 1, in verses 1 to 3, it says, "Blessed is the man who does not dwell in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So such a person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, this is the prophet Jeremiah speaking. He says, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my..." I got some of you guys blocking my screen. This is funny. I can't actually read what I've written. But you guys can see the whole screen, right? It says, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty." Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is..." I believe that's... Michael is blocking my screen on my side, but it's okay. "Whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things." You see, brothers and sisters, we got to fill our minds with God's word. And when we do that, I believe there will be no room for Satan's lies. A lot comes at us in our world. I mean, every single day, there's so much going on. And we've got to be able to ask ourselves every day, throughout the entire day, what does the word of God say about my situation? If you cannot show me book, chapter, and verse about whatever it is that you're going through from scripture, that is not God, that's the devil talking. But you see, the more you and I fill ourselves with God's word, the more we're not going to have room for Satan's lies. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. The Bible again tells us to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Brothers and sisters, meditation is a discipline that the Bible encourages throughout scripture. We are constantly called to memorize, to visualize, and to personalize God's word. What is the definition of biblical meditation? It's the habit that allows us to pause long enough to be still and to know God. It is the powerful practice of pondering, personalizing, and practicing scripture. When you and I, as we read it, where we take the time during the day to ponder what we've read and to think about the passages that we've read, and we ponder them, we think about them, we chew on, so to speak, and we allow the scriptures and God's word to literally wash over us as we go about our day. Because remember, the Bible is one of three things that will last for all eternity. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus did tell us, and he promised the apostles back in John 14, verse 26, says, "I'm going to send you another counselor." Obviously, talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, you and I, when we were baptized, the Holy Spirit started dwelling inside of us. That's what the Bible says. We repented and we got baptized, and God forgave our sins, and the Holy Spirit started residing in each one of us. And it's amazing to me that when we read God's word, that Holy Spirit that's living inside of me, that Holy Spirit that's living inside of you, now allows you and allows us to understand what God is saying. Because these are spiritual things, and they can only be spiritually discerned. And so when you and I are reading God's word, and all of a sudden you have one of these aha moments, that's the Holy Spirit helping you understand the word. Because these are spiritual words that can only be spiritually discerned. And that's why when a lot of long Christians read the same Bible, they can't see what you and I see. Now, praise God, God in his wisdom, God in his grace and in his mercy, he opens our eyes when people start studying the Bible. You know, it is the Holy Spirit that draws people into the kingdom of God. I believe it's in John 6 where it says twice that nobody can come to God unless God enables them. And so God starts opening our eyes to understand the word. And guess what? Just as the word of God is being put into us by God and the Holy Spirit, Satan is right there trying to take it and snatch it out. And that's why we got to be praying for our friends that are studying the Bible, that the word of God that God is putting into them, that Satan will not succeed in taking it out. But that's the definition of biblical meditation, where we're thinking about scripture and we're pausing long enough to personalize it and then to practice it. You see, the question is not, does God speak? The question is, are we listening? Are we going to take the time to block out the noise? And then, so that we can hear the voice of God. There is so much noise today. There really is. But God is speaking. We got to make the time to listen and to block out all the noise. Where, you know, I don't know what time you have your Bible study, but find a quiet place. I know most of us parents, we try and get up early so that, you know, we've had our time with the Lord before the kids start getting up. Because it's very difficult to be reading your Bible and to concentrate and to get a lot out of it when there's so much noise around you. And so that's why it's very important that, praise God, today, you know, you can have the Bible on your smartphone and, you know, maybe on your way to work, you know, you put your earphones in and, you know, your the Bible is being read to you, and that's awesome. But we got to make sure that we find ways to block the noise so that we can hear the voice of God. Let's continue. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, in the New King James Version, it says that meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them, it's very difficult for me. I can't see what I've written. I got to find a way to do this. It says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. That, I believe that says, people can see your progress. Okay? So that your progress can be evident to everybody. That was Paul's admonition to Timothy. It says, meditate on these things. You and I as Christians, throughout the day, let's make sure that we're meditating on the word of God. Let's make sure that we're thinking and we're pondering what we've read. And it makes a big difference. It's not just reading the Bible, but really pondering and meditating and thinking about it. Again, we're so thankful today because we live in a different time where we have our own personal Bibles. A lot of us have many copies. Now you can read your Bible on your telephone. Back in the first century, they didn't have this luxury. If you missed church in the first century, you missed it because you had to hear the apostles and the house church leaders preaching the word of God as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They had no Bibles. In the first century, Paul couldn't say, okay, now turn to this or turn to that, because it didn't exist at the time. These men would get up and preach through the Holy Spirit. And so if you miss church, you missed it. But today, you know, we have our Bibles. Even this message is being recorded. Today in the 21st century, brothers and sisters, we should be closer to God than even Christians were in the first century, because we have so many other tools at our disposal that they didn't have. So the more you love the scriptures, the firmer will be your faith. There is little backsliding for many, when people love the scriptures. That was said by Dwight L. Moody. You see, the more we get into the Bible, the firmer our faith will be. You know, I've been a Christian now 34 years, and one of the hardest things is to see, you know, different disciples and Christians, you know, struggling in their faith. And, you know, my wife and I would, you know, we'd get with disciples and, you know, they're struggling. And the first question I always ask is, brother, how is your walk with the Lord? How's it going reading your Bible? And it's amazing to me, it never fails, where the answer is always, yeah, you know, I've not been really in my Bible, or as a matter of fact, I haven't read my Bible this week, or, you know, I haven't read my Bible in 3 weeks. We got to get into the Word of God, because that's the primary way for us to ward off Satan. And I don't know where we are tonight in terms of the amount of time we're spending in God's Word. I want to encourage us to really get into the Scriptures like we've never done before. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect nature." The primary way to grow spiritually, brothers and sisters, is by renewing our minds, is by allowing the Bible to renew us. We stop thinking the more the world thinks and start thinking the way God does. We ponder, we picture, and then personalize God's word. Every behavior, believe it or not, good or bad, begins in the mind. It is our thinking that must be changed. And praise God, we have God's word to help us change our thinking. The agent of this transformation is the living and inspired word of God. The Bible was given to us, not for information, but for transformation. When we read and meditate on God's word, God is able, through the Holy Spirit, to continue to transform us into the image of his son, Jesus. It lessens anxiety, it lessens and reduces stress, and it brings about an inner peace that no one can really describe. You know, the church fathers, they called this concept Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina. And it's reading the Bible in such a way as to hear what the Spirit is saying. It is allowing the Word to truly live in us, where we read it with a freshness. And I want to encourage you to read the Bible in a different translation. Right now, I'm reading the Bible in the New Living Translation. I know a lot of us were used to the NIV, and that's fine. And in the past, I've read it in the Amplified Version. But it's amazing to me how, when you read the Bible in different translations, you will see things that you never saw before. Well, oh, now I see what that is saying. And so I encourage you to ponder it. And as you read, remember, God is talking to you. Personalize it. Okay? God is not talking to your spouse. God is not talking to that brother. God is not talking to that sister. God is talking to you. God is talking to me. That is the way I read my Bible. I open it up, I pray, I beg God to show me wonderful things that day, and it never fails. And God will speak to you. That Spirit of God inside of you will help you understand what this is saying. And so you personalize it, and you pray it. It's exciting to know that you and I can pray Scripture. And then after, obviously, the final thing we do is we practice it. The four P's. We ponder it, we personalize it, we pray it, and then we practice it. In Psalm 143, verse 5, it says, "I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done." When you and I think about all the stuff God has done in our lives and continues to do, it lifts up our spirits. When we take our eyes off of the problem solver and we put it on our problems, that's when we have problems. And we got to practice and continue to ponder God's word, continue to meditate on God's word, because what it does is it allows us to take our eyes off, not on what we can see, but on what we cannot see. And it allows us to really think about what God is saying about whatever situation that we're going through. Brothers and sisters, the best meditation doesn't occur by reading the Scriptures in a random manner. It doesn't work that way. You can't wake up one day and say, okay, let me see what Psalm 10 talks about. And then tomorrow you jump to, you know, 1 Chronicles 1. It doesn't work that way. And so I want to encourage you to pick a book and when you start reading from, say, chapter 1, read it several times. And you'll be amazed when you go back and start taking notes and start writing stuff down. Different things will start jumping out at you. But take your time. We have our whole lives to really get into this book and to get to know this God until today we get a chance to see him face to face. So you're not in any hurry. So pick a book, start in chapter 1, and let's assume you've read chapter 1, read again. Read again. And then start going from verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and just go down slowly. Personalize it. God is talking to you. And it's amazing. The more we do that, the more we're going to get closer to God. And the more we ponder what God has done in our lives, think about how much God has done for you, how far he's brought you in your life to this point. Today is October 28th, the year of our Lord, 2020. You and I are still here. We're still here for a reason. God has done so much for us. God has brought us through so much. And when we ponder all his works and we meditate on all the things he's done for us and how far he's brought us, you know, it can only bring us joy and gratitude. Because like I always say to us so many times, the God that has brought you this far is not going to abandon you now. He's not that kind of a God. It's not going to happen. When we meditate on God's word, we view things very differently. We see our world from another angle. You know, as an evangelist, you know, my wife and I, we travel a lot. You know, people invite us to come and speak. We attend Christian conferences and stuff. And so we've flown a lot, you know, all of our lives of doing this. But one thing that I don't like, you know, when we're traveling and when we're flying is turbulence. Oh, I don't like turbulence. And I think that's the reason why I don't like roller coasters. Especially those roller coasters that will just drop you. You know, when a plane is experiencing turbulence, it's very uncomfortable. And, you know, you fasten your seatbelt and, you know, the plane is shaking and you hear people praying out loud, you know, and, you know, the plane dips. I hate that feeling. But you see, when you and I are meditating on the word of God, such events don't have to bother us. One of the Psalms that I ponder during turbulence is Psalm 46, where it says, God is my refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains carried into the midst of the sea. And I just keep saying that to myself. And then obviously, you know, the turbulence stops at some point. I'm like, yeah, thank you, God. But see, in situations like that, I bring Psalm 46 to mind very, very quickly. And I start pondering, you know. But it helps that you and I, we have scriptures like that where we can bring to mind when we're going through stuff. That's what the scriptures are there for. And so I want to encourage us to really get into this. You know, in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, in the Amplified Version, it simply says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. It's filled with the thoughts of God, nourished by his commands, filled with his truth, trusting in his promises. That's what we're talking about. That's what biblical meditation is. It was God's word that made us. Is it any wonder that his word should sustain us? That's what Charles Spurgeon said. Say, it was God's word that made us. Is it any wonder that his word should sustain us? I love that quote. Brothers and sisters, our world is messed up, okay? We live in a fallen world. And this is not heaven. It wasn't designed to be. If anything, from Genesis chapter 3, Satan threw this entire world into confusion. And over again, the Bible reminds us that as Christians that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. You know, people are like, well, you know, how come, you know, God doesn't just make this place perfect? And I said, as a matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up. There is a place like that, but it's not here. It's on the other side. And you got to make sure that you get your life right with him so that you can make it to the other side. But this is not heaven. This world is a mess. I mean, right now, everybody's so anxious with the elections and all this kind of stuff. God is still on the throne. All we have to do is go out and vote. As a matter of fact, you know, I don't know if we realize this, the idea of voting is not even the Bible, okay? But, you know, they tell us we can vote in America, amen, so let's go vote, okay? But we shouldn't have to worry about, oh, who's going to win the election, or what's going to happen with the economy, and what's going to happen with COVID-19. God is still on the throne. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. He's still on the throne. He's sovereign over everything. Nothing takes God by surprise. And those are the kind of verses that you and I need to be meditating on. Because, you know, if you're listening to the news, you're going to be depressed. Because there's nothing good on the news. If anything, the good news is in the scriptures. To know that, you know what, all this stuff is all temporary. That one day we're going to cross from this life into our eternity. And it's going to be tremendous. But see, Satan doesn't make it easy, brothers and sisters. He will always come at us. Yesterday, Sarah and I went out and to make a huge purchase. And, you know, they showed us the papers and the receipts, and they gave us the breakdown and everything. And they said, well, you owe us this much. I said, oops, I left my checkbook at home. And so we're coming back, and I'm like, wait a second. The amount is not correct. They had charged us $1,000 less. And I said, can I see those papers? And I looked at the tabulation. It's like, this is not the amount I owe them. So anyway, I come home, pick up my checkbook, and walk back in there. And brothers and sisters, and I'm tempted not to even bring it up. I said, well, maybe God is just trying to give me an extra $1,000. Let me not say anything. And I walked in, I said, no, I can't do this. So I went in and I started writing the check. And I said, sir, can I see that can I see the folder? And he brought it out. And I said, you made a mistake. And I said, look over here. You did this and then you took out another $1,000 down here. Oh, he said, wow, thank you for bringing that up. I said, I'm a Christian. I said, I can't do this. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. You know, if I kept this. And so he thanked me. So I made out the check for the right amount and I gave it to him. But brothers and sisters, I was tempted to not say anything, because it was their mistake, it wasn't mine. But I believe God was testing me. God was testing me. I said, you know what, I'm going to pass this test. You know, and I gave them their money, and praise God. But you see, I thought about verses like Ananias and Sapphira, who had, you know, sold their property, and they came forward, they gave a different impression. And I'm like, although it was their mistake, hey, I'm a Christian. I need to do the right thing. And they wouldn't have found out because it was their mistake. And so when we know the word of God, when we bring it up, it helps us fight temptation. There was another time I remember my wife and I, we had gone to some hotel to spend our anniversary. And I walked into the gym to use the gym. Beautiful. I was the only person in there. And I saw on this wall, this piles of white soft towels, and I'm like, wow, would you look at this? You know, I was actually thinking of going to buy myself some from the store. And I finished my workout, there's nobody else in there, and as I'm walking out, I'm tempted to grab a few and go put it in my suitcase. And I thought to myself, you know what, if I just take about four or five, nobody would even notice. And I got to the door and I stopped. I said, nah, Richard, yeah, they may not notice, but God notices. So I went into my room. You know, I told Sarah, you know, the temptation that I just went through. He says, I'm glad you didn't take their towels. And on our way to check out, I was getting to the car. And I looked back into the gym and there was nobody. And I'm like, man, I can grab a few of these towels and they will not even miss it. And then I remembered, it was on a Saturday. I said, you know what? If I try this stunt, I'm going to have to get up Sunday morning and confess this in front of the entire church. And I said, I'm not doing it. You know, I'm not a thief. And so I just left. And so the next morning, while I was preaching, again, I told the church my temptation. Obviously, I went to the store and I bought my own towels. And so that's how I now use, you know, when I go walk out. But temptation is there. I'm a Christian. Yes. I'm also a minister. Yes. But I also face troubles, and I also do get tempted. But it is the word of God that helps me to ward off the temptation. You know, the Bible says that when you and I are tempted in 1 Corinthians, it talks about how God gives us a way of escape. And we got to make sure that we always take that way of escape. And so, I want to conclude tonight by asking you and by imploring you to not just read the Bible, but to really take your time to meditate on what God is saying to you. Have you noticed how sometimes you read the scriptures and you've read that same passage maybe months ago or years ago, and then you're reading it now afresh, and all of a sudden God is telling you something different because you are not in a different place spiritually. And it's a constant exercise that we need to keep on going. I believe I know God a whole lot more today than I did 6 months ago. You know, one of the things I've loved about this lockdown is that I've spent a lot more time reading my Bible. I've spent a lot more time praying. Because I don't know how it was for you. The first 3 months during the lockdown, there were no new shows on television. There were no sports. I was just reading my Bible and praying. And yes, I binge-watched some stuff on Netflix that I didn't even know was there. But I've spent a whole lot more time in the Word and on my knees during this lockdown. And so I'm saying, let's take advantage of this, that we get into God's Word and we continue to ponder it and we continue to really think about it. There was this young Christian that I converted at on the campus of Texas A&M back in Texas. And I went to see him one day. And I was so encouraged. I walked into his bathroom. He had a single room by himself. And I walked to use the bathroom. And I come out and I'm washing my hands. And on his script, on his mirror, all around it, he had put on stick-ons and there was scripture on all of them. And I walked and I said, "Hey, Eddie, what's that?" He goes, "Hey, that's the only way I'm able to make it every day, Mr. Richard." And, you know, he had all scriptures all around, stuck around the mirror. I was so encouraged by that. And I think you and I can do that. You know, we can pull up we can stick something on our mirrors every day, a new scripture, and we just think about it all day long. So whatever works for you, just do something. I want to end with a poem tonight, talking about the Bible, because really the Word of God is an incredible thing. It's a poem that somebody wrote, and I thought, oh, but this is cool. Now, I'm going to have to read it on my phone because the screen is not going to give me a full picture, and I don't want to mess this up, okay? But here goes. It says, "I went to Genesis Hotel through Exodus Road. On the way, I saw Leviticus recording the numbers of people at Deuteronomy, while Joshua was waiting in the beautiful gate for judges to see Ruth calling loudly, 'Samuel! Samuel!' At a stage, the first and second kings of Chronicles 1 and 2 were coming to visit Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther for the misfortune of Job, their brother. They started singing psalms and teaching children proverbs concerning Ecclesiastes and Songs of Solomon. This coincided with the period that Isaiah was engaged in Jeremiah's lamentations, together with Ezekiel and Daniel, their friends. By that time, Amos and Obadiah were not around. 3 days later, Hosea, Joel, and Jonah traveled in the same ship with Micah and Nahum to Jerusalem. Habakkuk then visited Zephaniah, who introduced him to Haggai, a friend of Zechariah, whose cousin is Malachi. Immediately after the tradition, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John got involved in Acts of the Romans, who were behaving like the First Corinthians group, because the Second Corinthians group were always at loggerheads with the Galatians. At that time, too, they realized that the Ephesians and Philippians were close to the Colossians, and a suggestion for the First Thessalonians visit was made, and that on their Second Thessalonians visit, they should first of all see the first and second of the Timothy brothers, who had gone to the house of Titus to teach Philemon, his younger brother, how to read and write in Hebrew. On hearing this, James asked Peter twice to explain to him how the three Johns have disclosed to Jude the revelation of their journey. I saw that, you know, many years ago, and I thought, man, that's cool. Where, you know, somebody, you know, put all the books of the Bible to a poem, and I thought, wow, that's cool. But brothers and sisters, we have so much to meditate on. We have so much to think about. We have so much to learn from this creator called Yahweh. This God that we get to behold his glory and his majesty one day. And all this is practicing for what we're about to experience on the other side. But it starts by truly getting into the word. And so I hope tonight has been helpful. You know, this is what I wanted to talk to us about tonight. And I want us to take the time to really get into our Bibles like we've never done before. My wife and I are very excited. God willing, pray for us. We'll get to New York City on Saturday, and then we'll move into our apartment on Monday. And so we can't wait to get up there to see you guys face to face. Yes, we have to quarantine when we first get there, but you better believe, you know, once that is done, we're gonna start visiting you guys. And yes, we will social distance, and but we're looking forward to be up in Brooklyn with you all. I hope this message has been helpful. God bless you all. So I want